Well, turn with me to your Bibles, to the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to look at chapter 10. We're going to start with chapter 10. We'll read chapter 10, and we'll start with verse 46, and we're going to read verses 46 to 52. And I'm reading from the real Bible, the King James. If you dare, say amen. Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 6. And it says, now they came to Jericho and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, speaking about Jesus, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, I'm just talking, right? But he said he cried out, right? Your translation might be he shouted, right? Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabbi, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately, everybody say immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Notice blind Bartimaeus, from the text we just read, right? Pertaining to his encounter with Jesus. How many of you know we can have an encounter with Jesus every single day? Yeah. We can initiate an encounter with him. In fact, he wants us to have an encounter with him. And it's a privilege and an honor that we can have encounters with him every single day. We don't have to wait just when we come to church. We can have an encounter with him when you're driving to work, when you're washing the dishes, whatever you're doing, you can have an encounter with Jesus every single day. Amen? So notice the progression of his encounter with Jesus. He heard. He shouted. He kept on shouting, meaning he was persistent, right? Persistent in his faith. He didn't quit. And what happened? Jesus hears, Jesus stops, he receives his breakthrough, his miracle, and then the wonderful part is, he then follows Jesus. Amen. He then follows Jesus. I don't know if you guys remember, but when Brother Jerry Savelle was here with us, I can't remember the year, but four years in a row, he made this statement. And that statement that he made stuck with me since he said it. And what he said was, the depth of your praise or your shout to what Bartimaeus was doing, he was shouting. He made a sound, right? A praise or a shout is a sound. He said, the depth of your praise or your shout will determine the magnitude of your breakthrough. So when I was reading this, Bartimaeus' shout wasn't a shallow, hollow shout. Amen? But there was a depth to his shout. What I mean by a depth, there was a deepness to his shout. There was an intense deepness. There was a intensity, a seriousness. I would also say a desperation to his shout or the sound that he made. Right? Because he's blind. And his only answer or his only breakthrough is walking through Jericho. Right? So tonight I want to entitle this message, A Sound That Moves God. A Sound That Moves God. And what I mean by sound is, it's a sound, it could be a sound or a declaration or a proclamation or a decree of faith. It can be a praise or a worship, a sound that God hears and moves, right? The Bible says that the praises, right? The praises of our praises to God, right? God inhabits what? The praises of his people, right? The sound that we make, God inhabits us, right? Our praises. It attracts God, our praises. He's not attracted to our moaning. That's one sound he's not attracted to. He's not attracted to our complaining, our grumbling, right? Our strife. But there's a specific sound that he's attracted to. And that's what I mean. We're a sound that moves God. And I believe when I was praying yesterday and today, you know, I believe there's going to be an impartation of joy that will increase your strength tonight. And it will raise your faith and expectation levels in enlarging your capacity to believe and to receive more of God, more of revelation, more of grace, his clarity of mind, wisdom, receive more of discernment and spiritual sensitivity and an awareness to hear that will revive, that will refresh, that will resuscitate your spirit, soul, and your body. Amen. Of any spiritual, physical, mental weariness or fatigue. Can you say amen? Amen. The Bible says he giveth power to the faint, and to them without might he increases what? Strength. And I believe that through all of these things that we're going on, God's people need to be refreshed, they need to be resuscitated, and they need to be renewed with strength. Amen. Acts talks about there's times of refreshing. And the only place we can receive refreshing and renewal is from being in the presence of God. Amen. So tonight, set your hearts in believing and in receiving mode. Would you do that tonight? Amen. Can everybody say amen? Amen. So we're going to talk about the sound that moves God. The sound that moves God. Now, let me make this statement. How many of you know that every sound, everybody say every sound, every sound carries a message. No matter what that sound is, every sound carries a message. Whether it's a sound of a police siren blaring, it carries the message of urgency. Whether it's the sound of a baby crying, right? It's crying because of a need that that baby has. That's the message. I'm in need right now. I'm hungry. My diaper might be wet. But he's crying. There's a message that that baby is saying when they're crying. Or a sound of the neighbors cheering for their favorite football team. Right? It's a message of joy. I mean, I hear it all the time around my neighborhood. I can tell when one team's winning and one team's losing. I hear, yeah! Ah! You know? But every sound carries a message. You know, the other day I started up my truck, and there was an unusual sound coming from the engine, a tapping sound. Now, I don't know about you, but it irks me when I hear any kind of weird sounds coming from my automobile. But that weird sound was saying something to me, right? And it had me concerned. So I had to check it out. And thank God it wasn't anything serious. But that sound had a message. Just that one sound. Think about a teenager who slams their door, right? It carries a message that someone is angry. Without saying one word. And the parents respond, you slam the door again, you want to be grounded indefinitely. You know, I remember driving home from Kapalua when I was working at Kapalua years ago, and I stopped at this mini mart in Lahaina on the way home to fill up some gas. And after I was done, I mean, fill up some gas in the car. I didn't have gas, I filled up gas in the car. But after that, I went into the store to buy something to drink. And as I came out of the store, I saw this rental car with two people. They were slowly driving away, but they were so busy talking that they were oblivious to what was going on. And what was going on was when they filled up gas and they were driving away, they still had the gas nozzle in the gas tank. And as they were driving, I walked out. I saw the gas hose was stretched to the max, was ready for snap. In fact, the pump kind of turned this way. And I made a sound. I yelled, "Hey!" And they stopped, and they looked like, "Whoa, what is that?" I said, "Your hose." They looked, and I swear to God, from where I was, their face turned red. They were embarrassed. But you know, praise God, nothing happened. An accident was avoided because of a sound. Everybody say, a sound. Do you know that when we speak, like I'm speaking right now, or we make a sound, our brains have to think it first, what we're going to say, right? We have to think what we're going to say. And what happens is, I'm trying to make it as simple from the way I read it. We think what we're going to say. And what happens is our lungs begin to fill with air. And as we speak, the air begins to come out of our lungs. It goes through our vocal cords, right? Our voice box, which causes a vibration in our voice box, which produces the sound that you hear. There's a vibration goes on, air coming out, and our voice box begins to vibrate, and we hear sound. Pretty simple, yeah? Vibrations produce sound and words that we speak. How many of you know there's always a sound that precedes a move of God? There's always a sound that precedes the move of God. Whether it's a sound of us all worshiping the Lord together, we're making a sound, one voice, a sound to Him, right? But there's always a sound that precedes a move of God. Whenever the Spirit of God moves, it always is associated with a certain sound. You know, the Bible declares in the book of Genesis that God spoke, right? He spoke. Nine times He spoke. Or we can say He made a sound. And the Spirit of God moved according to that sound. And all creation came into being because of a sound. You guys follow me? Or we can say a sound or a vibration of faith, if I may say it that way, was uttered or spoken. or declared or proclaimed. You know, I believe in confessing the word, which we need to continue to do, but I believe we have to graduate from just confessing the word, and we have to start declaring the word and proclaiming the word. Right? You guys follow me? We have to graduate from confessing the word to declaring the word and proclaiming it. And making that sound of declaration and proclamation, just as God did. And that's a distinct sound. And it tracks God. Right? And the Spirit of God moved, and things began to happen. As God began to release vibrations of faith, the Holy Spirit began to take that word and begin to make things happen. Amen. How many of you, as a man or woman of God, born of the Spirit, a speaking spirit, that's who you are, right? You're born again and you're speaking spirit. You're speaking from your spirit of who you are. When you declare and you proclaim what God says in His Word, the Holy Spirit comes into agreement with the Word of God. Amen. See, Jesus says, when two of you agree, right? When two of you agree, what things ever you do, you know, if two of you shall agree on anything on this earth and ask my Heavenly Father, it shall be done. If you by yourself, the Holy Spirit will always come in agreement with you. Because He's always in agreement with the Word. But He needs somebody to declare and proclaim the Word. So He can release His power to back up that word that you're speaking as a spirit-speaking person. So the Holy Spirit comes into agreement with the Word of God, not with your complaints, not with our complaints, grumblings, or murmurings, or moanings, but He only comes in agreement with what the Word of God says that is coming out of your mouth. Amen. And that's the sound, that's the distinct sound that He wants to hear. And when you do that, He'll begin to make things happen for you. Just as He was the power behind the words that God spoke, creation into being, He is the power when we speak. But church, we've got to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. How many of you know He's a person? We call Him the person of the Holy Spirit because He has a personality, right? A person is a person who has a personality. He has feelings. He can be grieved. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, our weaknesses. But He can be touched with our weaknesses, but He can empower our weaknesses. He doesn't leave us there. You know, I was reading a book that Kenneth Copeland was doing. Somebody was doing an interview with him. And he was talking about what are some of the things that Christians, how can I put it? What are some of the things that Christians are not living to their level? And he says, well, this is a lot, but the three that comes to my mind is one of them is that They don't realize who's living inside of them. There's some Christians say, you know, my prayers feel like it's just hitting the ceiling. And they don't realize that the Holy Spirit is hearing everything that you're saying right here. That it doesn't have to hit the ceiling. You can speak to Him right here because that's where He is. And a lot of times, I believe that too. Sometimes a lot of us forget who's living inside of us. We're looking for God out here, but God, the Holy Spirit, is inside here. The greater one, you know, is living inside of you, right? And it's a big disservice if we don't realize that as believers, filled with the Holy Ghost. See, Jesus said, You shall be filled with the Holy, John the Baptist said, you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost when Jesus comes. And he shall fill you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, right? With fire. Or we can say power. And the evidence of the Holy Spirit is the tongues, right? Speaking in tongues. But not only in tongues, the Holy Spirit came to fill you with power. That's the evidence. Power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Yeah, dunamis and exousia power. Dynamite and authority. That's who lives living inside of you. The might and the ability of God is inside of you. Yeah, he's a person, and he can be grieved, and he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but the Holy Spirit is a person. See, man, I love this guy, Neville Hayes. He's already transitioned to heaven. How many of you remember when he came and ministered here? I think it was a whole week he came here. And how many of you heard of Neville Hayes?
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, he's raw. I mean, he tells you straight, right? But at that time, I was blessed to be able to transport him back and forth from his hotel to here and had that whole week to spend time with him. And all that time I spent with him, I just shut up and I just listened. And I just soaked in. But I was reading one of his books. And one of his books, he writes, when the Holy Spirit hears us declaring scriptures, proclaiming scriptures, quoting the Bible, he hears us. And when we say in Jesus' name, it's mine, I receive it and accept it, at that moment, the Holy Spirit starts to perform it when we've spoken it. The very moment you speak the word of God, you proclaim it, you declare it, he begins to work. He begins to perform it. He performs it. And I was reading that, I go, wow, I know Holy Spirit is our helper, right? He's our counselor, he's our advocate, he's our standby, he's our spirit of might and power, he's the spirit of truth. But now I have a new one. He's the performer. He's the performer. And what I mean is, he performs the word to bring it to pass in your life, in my life. And the cool thing about the Holy Spirit is he sticks to the script. What I mean is he sticks to the word, right? So what are we talking about? A sound that moves God. Now in Acts chapter 2, we're familiar with these verses, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. I'm just going to give you, you can turn there if you want, but you know, when the 120 that were gathered in the upper room, right? Jesus told them, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the power, the promise of the Father, right? So they had gathered in Jerusalem in the upper room, and they were waiting for the promise of the power. Everybody say power. There was 120 of them there. How many of you know the disciples weren't just sitting around? They weren't sitting around idly folding their hands, saying, okay, God, we're waiting. Anytime you're ready, we're ready. Not at all. They had to make a sound. They had to make a sound. You don't have to turn there, but I'll just read it. In Acts chapter 1, 14, it says, these all, the 120, continued with one accord in prayer. Everybody say prayer. That was the sound that they made. They were in prayer. They weren't just sitting around waiting, but they continued with one accord. They came in agreement with one accord, and they were praying of supplication, of intercession, probably praise and worship as well, as they waited for the promise of the power of the Holy Spirit. And notice what happens when they made that sound. They were praying together, right? In verse 2, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. Notice what happened when they made a sound. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly, now, immediately, God set time. Suddenly, they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. How many of you know the apostles have never had a spiritual experience like this before? They were the first to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The first. You see, this wasn't some kind of freak accident, right? Or some natural occurrence that occurred from nature. This was a move of God. A supernatural, or we can put it this way, it was a move of God or a supernatural invasion of God's presence and power moving in, everybody say moving in, and taking up permanent residence in God's people. Amen. And we know that Pentecost was the beginnings, the birth of the church, right? The birth of the church. The Holy Spirit came, empowered them, birthed the church, gave them the mandate, and empowered them to fulfill that mandate. And that mandate has not stopped. Amen. The first century church is the blueprint of any 21st century church should follow. Yeah, the book of Acts, that church. But that whole day of Pentecost started with one sound. There was a sound. And the sound was an indication, an indicator. The heavens were rendered open that something or someone was coming. The sound. Like I said, the sound always precedes a move of God. So the heavens were rendered open that something or someone was coming, right? Suddenly, with cloven tongues of fire appeared on each of them, and they were all filled and saturated with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them utterance or enabled them or having the ability to speak or to declare. I believe it was in First Kings. We don't have to turn there. But First Kings chapter 18, that whole verse, it talks about Elijah. The nation of Israel were under God's judgment, right? And God told Elijah to speak to the clouds and to withhold the rain for 3.5 years. It did not rain for 3.5 years because of the way that Ahab and Jezebel were living as the king and the queen. So he pronounced judgment that he would close the heaven and would not experience any rain. And the 3 years had ended. And Elijah tells Ahab, gird yourself up, get something to eat, because I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I hear it. He heard it in the spirit. And he tells his servant, go run and see if there's any rain. And I think he runs back and forth for 7 times. Now, if you look at that, you study that out, that servant had to run a mile to go look and then come back. So when we read our Bible, we look, oh, he just didn't go look and come back. No, he ran a mile and he came back. He came back, nothing, there's no sight of rain. Oh, go back and check. Go back. The Bible says Elijah put his head between his knees and he began to pray. He said, go check again. the sixth time. Seven is God's perfect number, right? On the seventh time, the servant goes and says, there's a cloud the size of a fist that is forming. He said, that's it. Tell Ahab to get on his chariot because the rain is coming. Because you're going to get stuck before the rain comes. A sound was made before the manifestation came forth. I hear the sound. Now, rain signifies restoration, right? Because they had experienced famine and drought for 3.5 years. So the symbolic of rain is the crops are going to grow. Everything is going to be restored. Life is going to come back, right? So Elijah heard the sound before the rain came. Amen? So before God always moves, there's always a distinct sound. Amen? You guys follow me? Now let's look at our text in Mark. Blind Bartimaeus made a sound, and that sound was a shout of faith. Everybody say a shout of faith. Now, the shout of faith, let me see. Remember that video that James had shown us last week? How many of you were here last week, Wednesday night? Remember that video he played? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Yeah. This is the praise, make dead men walk again. Yeah. Open the grave, I'm coming out, I'm going to live again. But this is the sound of dry bones rattling. He's talking about Ezekiel 37, with his dry bones live again, right? And, you know, we can talk about it later, but I just thought it was appropriate to bring that in because the sound of rattling bones. Before the rattling, the sound, the word of the Lord was spoken. The sound of the word of the Lord was spoken. God told Ezekiel, right, to speak. In fact, let me just paraphrase. God brings Ezekiel into a vision, shows him a vision, and he shows him a valley of dry bones. And he tells Ezekiel to walk in this valley of dry bones, go back and forth, and look at all these dry bones that are laying in this valley. Probably there was a whole bunch of dry bones inside there. And that dry bones is significant to the time frame that Israel was in captivity to Babylon. And here God is speaking, not only to their situation physically, they were in captivity, but he's also addressing their spirituality, that they were dry as well, because they have turned their hearts from God. But God is declaring, and he's showing Ezekiel all of these dry bones. This is the state that my people are in. Amen. How many know that's the state that our country is in? Yeah? But not the church. Praise God for the church, right? We are the Ezekiels. We carry the word of the Lord to prophesy. So as he's walking back and forth, looking at all these dry bones, he's seeing all these dry bones. And God says, hey, Ezekiel, can these dry bones live again? Now, Ezekiel had two responses. He could have responded by what he saw, or he could have responded to who God is. Right? He could have said, man, God, these bones not only dry, but they're bleached. They're dead. There's no life in it. You know, dry bones means there's no life. There's no resuscitating these dry bones. I mean, they're dead. They're gone. They're bleached white. And he could have responded by what he saw. But Ezekiel said, you know, he played it safe. He said, you know God. Another translation says, thou sovereign Lord, you know. And that word sovereign is interesting because it carries the implication that God can do anything. Why? Because that word sovereign means that God is all supreme and all powerful. That's what that word sovereign means, that God is all powerful and all supreme. Yeah, and that's why he can do anything. So he says, you know, O Lord, thou sovereign Lord. Then God says, therefore, son of man, speak, make a sound, prophesy the word of the Lord, that these dry bones will live again. And he began to proclaim what God told him to say. And that's when the sound began to happen. The rattling of bones. Amen. Don't ever give up. The devil might tell you, man, your declarations, your proclaiming is not doing anything. Well, he wouldn't have told you that if it was. Right? Keep on declaring over your family. May it be a salvation of a loved one. Speak the word and only the word. Amen. You know, when we pray in tongues, right? We pray in the Holy Ghost. We pray the perfect will of God, right? Amen. We pray God's perfect will in Romans chapter 8. But when you declare the word of God, you're also praying the perfect will of God. Because his will is his word, right? So when we begin to, when we declare God's word for whatever situation, what we're seeing out, whatever is happening, you know, declare and speak the word. Amen. Keep on speaking the word, declaring the word from a place of faith. Amen. Keep on making that sound. And the sound that blind Bartimaeus did was a sound of a shout of faith, which had a distinct sound that caused a powerful move of God that caught Jesus' attention, which caused a breakthrough or a miraculous healing that gave him back his sight. See, there was power in Bartimaeus' shout because he shouted in faith, right? It had a distinct sound. And when you shout a shout of faith, it has a distinct sound of confidence, of not in yourself, but a confidence in God. A shout of faith has authority. A shout of faith has trust and belief and strength. Amen. See, faith shouts before the victory and after the victory. See, it's so easy to shout when we have the victory, right? It's so easy because we have the victory. But the shout of faith is shouting before the victory, before the battle, and after the battle. That's what I call a shout of faith. See, Bartimaeus shouted in faith before Jesus even arrived. When he heard Jesus was in town, he began to shout. And he was persistent. See, the depth of his shout determined the magnitude of his breakthrough. It was an intense shout. It was a deep shout. It was a desperate shout. Because he might not have the chance again if Jesus walked through. In fact, a week later, Jesus was to be crucified. And he didn't know that, but God knew. So he was shouting from a place of desperation. I mean, I'm blind. And, you know, the Bible says he's sitting at the roadside, right? And he's probably there every single day. In fact, interesting that in order for him to beg, right, a beggar had to get the government's approval, which was Rome at that time. And what Rome, the governments would do was they would issue him, any person who was blind, lame, or an invalid, they were given what is called a beggar's coat. Right? So even back then, the government was in control, or trying to control the people. Right? It was a beggar's coat. Now it's vaccinating mandates, license. Right? But in order for him to legitimately beg, he had to be given a beggar's coat. And that would make him legitimate and be able to go by the roadside and beg. Because that's the only means of his resource or finances. You know? And the Roman government probably was, you know, they were taxing people. So he was exempt if he had the beggar's coat on. So I don't know how long he was sitting there, or every day he's sitting there, but he was on the main road. And I'm pretty sure, right, he's blind, but his hearing has been more keen. Because now he's able to, although he's blind, he's keen, his hearing is much more keen because, you know, that ability to hear is much more clear. So he's probably hearing all the conversations every day. Hey, you know about Jesus? He just healed that guy, that Lazarus' daughter. He raised him from the dead. Oh yeah, you heard about him healing that woman with the issue of blood, right? And he's hearing all these conversations about this guy Jesus because he's never seen Jesus. He's blind, but he's hearing all these conversations on the roadway. And he's saying, man, if Jesus ever comes to this town, man, that's my answer to my situation, to my blindness. And then there's this one day, this special day, he hears that Jesus is in Jericho where he is. He's here. And that's why he shouted a shout of faith. Because he needed his answer. He needed his miracle. He knew his miracle was nearby, but he couldn't see the miracle, right? But although he was blind, he did what he could, right? And the only thing he could do was yell and shout. And that's what he did. He shouted, he made a sound. And he shouted. And then you had all the naysayers, the haters, right? Saying, hey, quiet, quiet. You're a beggar, right? Hush up. The master is too busy. You know, he has too many things to do. He doesn't care for you. He doesn't have time for you, right? But thank God he was persistent and he didn't stop shouting. In fact, he shouted all the more. Amen. You know, I forget who I was talking with, but with all the vaccine and people getting the vaccine and people choosing not to, it's really caused a divide within families, among workers, amongst communities. Yeah, it has. And I was thinking about that scripture where it says that Jesus was saying that a father will have aught against a son, a mother against a daughter, you know, and a son-in-law, a mother-in-law, there will be this division, right? And aught against family members. And I was thinking, you know, when you read that years ago, you're thinking, how in the world is that going to happen, right? I mean, Jesus is saying all of this, you know, mother is going to be against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother, and father against Son, and you're reading that, I go, how is that supposed to happen? And now we live in this reality, right? And we're seeing it happen. But despite of all of these things happen, church, we are the church. We are God's people. And God has given us his word. Amen. And God wants us to continue to make a sound. You know, God wants to move again. But we got to make the sound. We got to make the right sound. We got to make a unified sound together. I mean, all the body of Christ, the church together, has to make one sound in order to have a move of God in that proportion. And God wants to. And I believe the church is getting to that place. You know, I was reading this story about this professor, Edwin Orr. And let me see if I can. I might have. It's an interesting but powerful story. But he was a professor at Wheaton College. Let me see if I can find it. But he had taken a group of students, theology students, to England to visit let me see if I can find it. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, thank you. Yeah, Dr. J. Edwin Orr, the greatest authority on revival in the church, was a lecturer at Wheaton College. And what he did was he took some students in 1940 to visit England, to visit the Epworth Refectory. And what that is Epworth Refectory is, that's where John Wesley lived, him and his brother. And if you know anything about John Wesley, he was a reformist, but he was very instrumental in not only praying for revival and spiritual awakening in England, but also for revival in the United States. God really used him. In fact, he is the father of the Methodist religion. He's the founder of Methodist. And Professor Orr had taken these students to visit this home that he lived. And Dwight, his brother Dwight and Wesley. And as these students went into his home, they walked in the living room, they saw where this man of God lived. They saw all the things that he had. And they were just amazed and just to be honored to be in this place where this man of God lived, who made such an impact in the nations. So they're just walking around and just in awe, you know, and just looking at everything. And as they get to the downstairs, they walk up the stairs up to his bedroom. And they get up to his bedroom and they see where his desk is. They're looking at his desk and probably, you know, amazed because this is where he wrote much of his sermons, right here on this desk, where a lot of his sermons was inspired right here that got thousands and thousands saved, right? And man, they're just in awe. And they can just sense the anointing, the presence in that place. And when they get to the bed, his bed, they see where he slept. On the left side of the bed, they notice on the carpet, there are two indentations on the floor. And that's where he prayed. The indentations was from his knees. Of the hours and hours that he knelt on the side of his bed and he prayed. And this is where the fire of revival started in that room that was able to spread throughout England and even to the United States. It all began there on his knees. And as they began to leave and get on the bus, Dr. Orr gets in the bus and he starts to count and make sure that all his students are there. And he notices that one of his students is not there. So he looks and goes, one of them not here. So he goes back in the house, goes into the living room, that person's not there. And he hears something upstairs, so he follows the voice upstairs. And he walks upstairs, he looks in the bedroom, and to the side of the bed where those two indentations were, he sees one of his students praying there. And what he overhears, he hears is, "Lord, please do it again. Please do it again." And he goes to his student and he taps his student. He says, "Come on, Billy, we gotta go." That was Billy Graham. God wants to do it again. God wants to move again. But are we willing to make that sound? Are we willing to intercede and make that sound? Are we willing to plead and cry out, just as Bartimaeus did, a cry of desperation? A cry of faith. God, do it again. Start with me. A sound always precedes a move of God. God is waiting for that sound. A sound of unity. A sound of oneness, of intense deepness, not a shallow one that one day we declare it and the next day, a week, we forget, but one that is constant, ongoing, petitioning, asking, declaring, proclaiming, worshiping, praising. What sound are we making? What sound can be heard in my life, your life, as followers of Christ? Is there a distinct difference between the sound in our lives in comparison to the sound of this world? Is there a distinct difference? What sound can be heard in our everyday life? Amen. At our workplace, in our marriages, our businesses, in our families, in our church, and in our community. Amen? The sound that moves God. Praise the Lord. You guys received something tonight? Yeah? Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I hear the sound of the bones rattling. God, do it again. I believe what I forget what psalm it was, but it says, "Revive us again, O Lord, that your people may rejoice in you. Amen. And I believe God wants to move again, as I said, but he's waiting for that distinct sound. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Father God, we thank you that you move by the sound of faith. And the Holy Spirit always comes in agreement, Lord, with that sound, that word of God that we speak forth, that we declare and we proclaim by faith as Spirit-speaking beings, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you always come in agreement with the word of God. And that we're not moved by what we see or what we hear, Lord. But we just believe, Lord, as we declare and proclaim that the power of God is backing up the word that we speak and performing. There's a performance to the word of God. Let there be a performance of your word, Lord, when your people speak and declare the word of God. And things begin to happen. Bones begin to rattle. Miracles begin to occur. We begin to create, Lord, the atmosphere by which your presence can move again. Father, put that sense of urgency, of deepness, of intensity. Let the deep call it the deep, Lord. Take us into a deeper place. Not a level, not a shallow place, a hollow place, but a deeper place in the spirit. Just as Rachel, who was married to Jacob, said, "Give me child or I die." She wasn't able to give birth. She was barren. And she was desperate. She was intense. There was a deep need within her to have a child, to give birth. But Jacob couldn't do that. He didn't have the ability to do that. And Jacob sought you. And when he made that sound to you, you opened her womb to where she was able to give birth. He made a sound. So, Father, we thank you that as your people, we make a distinct sound that you will hear and you will move again. A sound of faith, a sound of praise, a sound of worship, hallelujah, a shout, elamande, rere basite, rabande, koshtabonde, oshite mandele basote, rabande, stelemande. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Amen. You know, a lot of people say, why you guys shout so loud? Well, you guys always shouting. Well, we're shouting because we're making a sound of victory. Amen. We shout before the victory and after the victory. Amen. Like I said, it's so easy to shout before we see the manifestation of our healing, of our breakthrough, of our deliverance. But God wants us to shout from the beginning. Shout for that victory. Shout for that deliverance. Shout for that healing, whatever it is. I remember that word the Lord gave, I forget who he gave, your shout will bring you out, right? Amen. Just like he brought Joshua and the nation of Israel out of defeat the Jericho, you know. So you guys learn anything tonight? Amen. Well, let's give the Lord a shout of praise of what we learned. One to two. On one to three. Let's do one to three. Let's do one to three. One, two, three. Hallelujah! Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's do that again. Let's all stand. The Bible says Bartimaeus shouted. Let's do that. Jesus of Nazareth, right? Jesus, right? Son of David. Can we do that? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us with everything within you, right? One, two, three. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. That's how he shouted, a shout of faith. Amen. And Jesus stopped. Jesus heard and Jesus stopped and he received his miracle. Amen.